friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We're now 49 days away from the opening ceremony at the Tokyo Olympics in Japan. Several track athletes and a coach from South Sudan, Africa's youngest country, have been in Japan since November 2019. They've been using training facilities in Maebashi, about 100 kilometers northwest of Tokyo. Japanese citizens have donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to support the training camp for the South Sudanese athletes. With the Tokyo Games now 7 weeks away, the South Sudanese athletes have raised concerns about their diet. David Monodanga reports from Juba, South Sudan.
Abraham Majuk, captain of the South Sudanese athletics team, who is competing in the 1500-meter races, says South Sudanese athletes will compete in some Japanese domestic tournaments as part of their preparations for the Tokyo 2020. He says COVID-19 has limited athletes from participating in many trial games since most have been suspended. He says all they need now is supplements recommended by the anti-doping panel and the Olympic Committee.
Right now, we have a very good track that we are training on. We have the training facilities. The only thing we lack now yet is supplements that athletes normally have. Normally, there are some food supplements that athletes take to supplement their diet and also their training. Most of the athletes always, there are some supplements which even anti-doping or the IAAF recommend athletes to have. But that one is lacking for us. We don't take anything apart from the food that we eat on table.
Majuk says the food his team eats lacks important nutrients. He says it's important that the athletes are provided with these nutrients to supplement whatever their bodies lack.
When you take those, then the food value that you miss in your body is already replaced. Maybe you don't eat most of the food that are rich in calcium or rich in protein. Then when you have a protein supplement, it supplements that food value that you miss. Or when it is calcium or iron that you are lacking in the body, it's already like that.
20-year-old Lucia William, the only female athlete representing South Sudan in the Summer Olympics, who is competing in the 100 and 200-meter races, says she has been struggling to adapt to the Japanese food since her team arrived in Japan in late 2019. She says she has since adapted to the Japanese weather, but still faces difficulty adapting to the local foods. She says sometimes she goes without eating. The sprinter says the food she's getting misses a lot of supplements necessary for athlete stamina.
Some athletes don't need to eat those kind of food. No, you need to eat a kind of food that you can get a benefit, you know, like protein or something you can get a benefit. Especially sprinters, they need to eat a lot of food, you know, so that you can get the power to run so fast.
According to a 2019 Nutrition for Athletes guide issued by the International Association of Athletes Federation, and published on the International Journal of Sport Nutrition and Exercise Mobilization, the usefulness of high-fat, low-carbohydrate diets is limited to selected individuals, events, or scenarios in distance events. The report says vegetarian diets can theoretically support athletes' demands, but special attention and good planning are required to ensure adequate intake of energy and specific nutrients that are less abundant or less well absorbed from plant sources, for example, iron. It also says evidence that carbohydrates consumed during exercise can provide an additional benefit via the brain and nervous system. Carbohydrates can stimulate areas of the brain that control pacing and the reward systems via communication with receptors in the mouth and gut. The South Sudanese athletes are being hosted at the Japanese town of Maebashi. They were taken under the Japanese Goodwill Project, which roots for these athletes to train and prepare for the Tokyo 2020 Olympics. Joseph Rencio Tobia, the team's coach, says if they were provided with some money, it would help meet some of the athletes' needs.
Japanese are not giving any service to us about money. No, since we came here, we are just staying like that. Even my players, there is some other things I need for a sport, for training, for the players. I don't have anything to help them.
William says the lack of money does not distract her from training for the Olympics. She says being the only female on the team representing South Sudan means she is shouldering a lot of responsibilities.
I'm so proud to represent my beloved country, South Sudan. Also, being the only woman among the team, I have never competed for my hometown or state, but always for other states, to show my love for them, and they are all equal. My message to a girl, especially the young athlete, I want them to keep focused on their training.
William says young girls have a lot of opportunities, but they can only exploit such opportunities if parents can allow their daughters to participate in sports. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga.
Squatty greetings, everyone. This is Ambassador Mary Onyale, Olympic medalist, 5-time African champion in the sprint event. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Mary Onyale represented Nigeria at 5 Olympics. Meanwhile, Nigeria has withdrawn from hosting the African Athletics Championships from June 23rd to June 27th. Nigeria's commercial capital, Lagos, was supposed to host the championships following Algeria's withdrawal, but Nigerian health authorities haven't approved the organization because of the COVID pandemic.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The European company Result Sports says the African football clubs Al Ahly and Zamalek have the most social media followers among African teams. Iron Mike Mbonye asked the CEO of Result Sports, Mario Leo, what criteria did you use?
We basically used for the African digital football benchmark the same standard approach which we use across all our monitoring observations or monitoring services across the global sports. We basically analyzed initially which platforms are used by the African football teams and obviously identified Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn and TikTok as being the key platforms. Then basically observed the communities, developed our crawler to measure all the activities of the teams. And obviously since we do that since 2017, we have now a natural evolution of the communities, which is great.
From the list released, clubs from North and South Africa lead other teams in the continent. What's the secret behind their success?
Clubs from North Africa are leading, especially Al Ahly and Zamalek, because obviously they have sold several of their players to European teams. And obviously the European teams have used social media since 2010. So Zamalek, Al Ahly, Raja Club, couple of Moroccan teams, they basically adopted pretty much a European-wide approach and lead the activities. The South African Premier League teams, especially Kaizer Chiefs, Orlando Pirates and Mamelodi Sundowns, obviously use the football euphoria in South Africa with the 2010 World Cup, where sort of Facebook came along and then basically just went on in that. So the earlier you start, the faster you grow your communities across the digital platforms. And that's why the Northern Saharan teams and obviously South African teams leading the initiatives. But we see newer clubs like Cape Town FC, Pyramids in Egypt, they basically develop, or another team actually, Fundreza, which plays in the Nigerian National League second division, they are newly formed clubs, and obviously they grow up and develop in a digital environment and use social media communities as a strategic means to grow the audience, to grow the own brand and grow all the activities.
Enyimba International FC of Aba is the only Nigerian club that made the list. What happened to other clubs in the country?
Just now, Enyimba is the only Nigerian top team sort of in the rankings, which is quite surprising, knowing that Nigeria is such a football-loving country, such a strong population, more than 120 million people, and the vast majority love football. And as I mentioned in earlier, obviously, Fundreza, a new league team in the National League second division in Nigeria, is leading even Enyimba by far, and therefore it's surprising. The other clubs obviously are lower down the ranks, and we urge and hope that they see the potential in social media communities, not only for communication perspective, but also using them for marketing, because partners and sponsors, they love to be present on social media platforms to get their brand visible, to get their brand recognized and associated with a football club. That's a very emotional and powerful tool.
That's Mario Leo, the CEO of Result Sports. And Mario spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Germany.
My name is Mario Leo. I'm the founder and chief executive of Result Sports. You are listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome, Mario. There will be a new National Basketball Association champion this season. LeBron James and the defending NBA champion Los Angeles Lakers were eliminated from the first round of the playoffs Thursday night by the Phoenix Suns. The AP's Mark Myers reports.
Devin Booker hit for 47 points, and the Suns eliminated the Lakers from the postseason with a 113-100 win.
We treated this game like a game seven. We knew we had to come in, and, you know, we were stressing since we won the last game that, you know, we wanted to end it here on their home court.
Jay Crowder added 18 points. The Suns as a team made 18 threes. Phoenix wins a playoff series for the first time since 2010. LeBron James led L.A. with 29 points. Anthony Davis re-injured his groin early on and played only five scoreless minutes. I am Mark Myers.
Thanks, Mark. Now let's go to the northwestern U.S. city of Portland, Oregon. That's where the Denver Nuggets advanced to the second round of the NBA playoffs by eliminating the Portland Trail Blazers. The AP's Jim Bernard reports.
The Denver Nuggets advanced to the second round of the NBA playoffs with a 126-115 victory over the Portland Trail Blazers. Nikola Jokic led the Nuggets with 36 points, while reserve Monte Morris had another good game off the bench with 22 points and 9 assists as the Nuggets rallied from a 14-point second-half deficit to take the series 4-2.
So let's not just know this game six. Let's play like a game seven. So when things got tight, we're like, yo, we're right here. We keep knocking on that tree, keep knocking on the tree. Eventually, it's going to fall and be in our favor.
Michael Porter Jr. scored 22 of his 26 points for Denver in the first quarter.
I knew they were going to come out super aggressive, and I wanted to just, my mindset was try to weather the storm as much as you can and give and help your teammates feel confident to make plays themselves, because I knew it was going to be rough out there. So, I mean, I was just shooting.
Damian Lillard topped the Trailblazers with 28 points and 13 assists, while C.J. McCollum added 21 points for Portland.
They just did a good job moving the ball, did a good job of forcing us into tough contested shots. We missed some shots we normally make as well. And credit them. They played a great series. They had a good game. And for us to be up double digits in the blow of the year, home is tough.
I'm Jim Bernard.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Samson Omale joins us now with another extra spicy African sports package. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Sunny. We begin the wrap of African sports action for this weekend with a preview of the international friendlies involving African national football teams. At least 14 games have been scheduled to be played between Friday and Sunday. New South African coach Hugo Bruce will miss his debut against Uganda on June 10th as he will be in his native Belgium waiting for a second COVID-19 vaccine. Abdullahi Mubiro, Ugandan Cranes coach, is not leaving anything to chance against the South Africans, promising victory for his side.
Everyone is really trying hard. We discussed our game model. At least everyone has a clue about what we want our game to look like, and now we've started going to the details, but I'm very pleased that they are responding very well and they are very intelligent players.
In Vienna, Austria, Super Eagles head coach Gerard Rohr has backed his team to maintain their dominance over the indomitable Lions of Cameroon in the first of their doubleheader friendly on Friday at the Stadion Werner Neustadt in Vienna.
A lot of players are not here. You know them, more than 11 players could not come. But it's an opportunity to see other players, to give them a chance to play and to get the result, I hope. There will be two games. This is the first leg. So let's try to do well. It is a good organization. We have now two possibilities, 4-3-3 or 4-4-2, 4-2-3-1. We will see what we can test tomorrow and also for the second game.
In Maputo, Eswatini will trade tackles with Lesotho. The Gambia will meet Comoros in Antalya, while the same venue will host the match between Guinea and Togo. In all the matches, it will be Ivory Coast versus Burkina Faso in Abidjan. Senegal will welcome Zambia to Dakar, while Tunisia will face DR Congo. On Sunday, African champions Algeria will be hoping to extend their 24-match unbeaten run when they file out against Mali in Blida. Staying with the Confederation of African Football, the first ever CAF Safety and Security Trainers Workshop teed off in Nigeria on Thursday with participants from host Nigeria, Liberia, Algeria, South Africa, Eswatini, Uganda, Namibia, Seychelles, Egypt, Cameroon, Senegal, Niger Republic, Ghana, and Kenya. The goal of the Confederation of African Football is to empower Africans to develop their own capacity to train themselves with the support of FIFA Safety, Security, and Access Control Department and all CAF's partners. Staying with football news, South Africa under 23 coach David Nutuane is disappointed with the cancellation of their trip to the United Arab Emirates as part of their preparations for the Tokyo Olympic Games in July, but says he's elated with the availability of players.
As I said always, I'm one that is positive, believes in this talented team, and with good preparation, I have a strong belief that we can march all the way to the semis, to a medal, podium position, which is either bronze, silver, or gold. And of course, I want gold.
Liverpool's Egyptian star winger Mohamed Salah wants to play in the upcoming 2020 Olympic Games in Tokyo. According to Egypt's under-23 team coach Shoki Gharib, the Premier League club is yet to decide on the player's availability. Late in April, the Egyptian Football Association submitted a second request to Liverpool to include Mo Salah among the three over-age players in the squad participating in the Olympics that will last from the 23rd of July to the 8th of August. Egypt's under-23 team kicked off their preparations for the 2020 Olympic Games in Tokyo by starting a two-week training camp on Tuesday. The team's final 22-man squad will be announced on the 30th of June. Elsewhere in North Africa, the newly appointed football coach of a Libyan national team, Javier Clemente, is set to sign a contract with the Libyan Football Federation. Clemente will lead the national team in a preparatory camp in Tunisia as Libya prepares to play several friendly matches before facing Sudan in the Arab Cup qualifiers. The national team is also preparing to participate in the World Cup qualifiers. The 71-year-old Clemente had previously coached the Libyan national team in 2013, and in his first year, they won the African Nations Championship in South Africa in 2014. He was dismissed in October 2016 after suffering a 4-0 defeat against the Democratic Republic of the Congo at a Pentecost Matar Stadium in Kinshasa during the African qualifiers for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. Away from football news now to basketball. Sheikh Sarr Rwanda national basketball head coach has pointed out Angola and DRC as the teams that will pose the biggest challenge to the national side in the AfroBasket competition slated for August in Kigali. In the recent draw made by FIBA Africa, Rwanda, the host nation, was placed in Group A alongside the Democratic Republic of Congo, Angola, another team that will finish third in Group E of the qualifiers, which could be either Morocco, Cape Verde, or Uganda. The top five teams from the Afro Basket competition will book a ticket to represent Africa in the 2023 FIBA Basketball World Cup in Japan, Philippines, and Indonesia in 2023. Staying with Rwanda, the 2022-2023 Basketball African League Games will be hosted by the East African country. However, this time around, only a couple of key games will be played in Rwanda, specifically the finals and playoffs. Claire Akamanzi, the Rwanda Development Board CEO, clarified that the country's partnership with BAL is for 3 years. Staying with basketball news, Nigeria basketball national team coach Mike Brown has confirmed that he may be forced to pick two different teams in the coming 2 months as the Olympics and Afro Basket tournament are within 2 weeks of each other. Nigeria became the first country to qualify for the Afro Basket, winning all 6 qualifying games over 2 windows. Brown, an assistant coach with the Golden State Warriors, says he's aiming for a podium finish at the Olympics.
Our goal is to finish on the podium. And, you know, somebody said to me, having all those players drafted in the NBA, having a lot of Nigerians already in the NBA, does that put a lot of pressure on you? You know, do you feel the pressure from the people of Nigeria, you know, to have success at the Olympics? And I don't. And the reason why I don't or our guys don't feel that pressure is, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. You know, we want to win for ourselves, for our family. We want to win from in Africa. We want to win for Nigerians all throughout the world. And we want to show the world that we can compete with the best of them. So our goal is to go to the Olympics. Our goal is to finish on the podium. And I think, again, with the talent that we have, it's a realistic goal for us.
Away from basketball news now to athletics, where Kenya still plans to hold a pre-Olympics training camp in Kurume. Its Olympics committee said on Thursday, a day after announcing the Japanese city had pulled out of hosting them over COVID-19 concerns. Kenya's Olympics committee said on Wednesday that Kurume officials had told them that the city was withdrawing from hosting the pre-Olympics training camp as infections had spread rapidly there since mid-April, creating a critical situation. Francis Mutuku, Secretary General of the National Olympic Committee of Kenya, has confirmed that the camp was back on. Japanese Embassy in Kenya said in an email statement that news of the cancellation was erroneously reported. Staying with athletics, Nigeria's Blessing Okagbare continued her splendid build-up to the Tokyo Olympics as she ran an impressive 10.98 seconds to win the 100 meters women's event at the PTS meeting, a World Athletics Continental Tour Silver competition in Samorin in the Slovak Republic. Okabare's winning time was a meet record, as no other woman has ever run under 11 seconds in the meet held in the Eastern European country. The world and Olympic medalist dominated the race, winning by almost half a second, with Ireland's Sierra Neville a distant second.
I'm honored. I'm honored to be the first woman to actually run under 11 years. It's a great honor, and I'm happy to be here.
That's Nigerian athlete Blessing Okagbare. And thanks to Samson Omale for that extra spicy report.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis, and on this edition of Press Conference USA, Atsuko Toda, the acting vice president of the African Development Bank's Agriculture, Human, and Social Capital, discusses how Africa can transform its agriculture sector for increased food security. Listen to Press Conference USA this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
My name is Nesli Catherine. I am the first female boxer from Uganda that will represent my country at the Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. You are listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Spanish tennis star Rafael Nadal celebrated his 35th birthday with another victory at the French Open, as we hear now from VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. On Thursday, third seed Rafael Nadal celebrated his 35th birthday with a straight set victory over Frenchman Richard Gasquet. And after the match, the King of Clay said his opening 6-0 set was one of the best he's played at Roland Garros.
I think I played a great first set. One of the best of the clay court season, in my opinion. No mistakes, high intensity, winners, playing long. Then, of course, Richard is a great player. He had some good serves on the next game, and then it was tough, no? But I was able to find a way to win that second set.
Nadal added that while he never imagined he'd still be competing at age 35, if his body holds up, he could see himself playing until 40. Nadal has advanced to the third round in his campaign for a record 14th French Open title. His next match will be against Australian Cameron Norrie on Saturday. Also on the men's side, Roger Federer defeated Croatian Marin Cilic despite dropping the second set. Federer, who is usually calm and collected on the court, uncharacteristically lost his cool during a heated exchange with the chair umpire when he was handed a time violation in the second set. Federer later said the argument was a misunderstanding and admitted it gave him a bit more energy in the match. Well, that added boost advanced him to the third round at Roland Garros. He will next face Dominic Kefir of Germany on Saturday. And Novak Djokovic easily cruised past Pablo Cuevas of Uruguay in straight sets. The world number one is on a mission to clinch his 19th Grand Slam title and will play his third round match against Lithuanian Ricardas Bernakis also on Saturday. On the women's side, French Open defending champion Iga Swiatek needed only 61 minutes to defend her title against Sweden's Rebecca Peterson on Thursday. And although Swiatek won the match 6-1, 6-1, she told reporters, "Don't let the score fool you."
Obviously, the score says that it was pretty easy, and it wasn't, because she was playing really, really nice balls with good rhythm. But actually, from the beginning, I felt like I had a good day today since I woke up. So I knew that, I'm going to be in the right mood. So I just kept that. And, I did my routines before the match. And then when I was on the court, I just felt the ball perfectly. And, I felt like I could do anything with it. So I'm pretty happy that I had this, this attitude right now.
Swiatek has now advanced to the third round in her title defense and will face Estonian Anett Kondavit on Saturday. Meanwhile, world number one Ash Barty has bowed out of the tournament due to a hip injury. Barty fought through a flare-up to win her opening match on Tuesday, but admitted she was not playing at 100%. And on Thursday, Barty told reporters her injury had gotten worse and she needed to retire and recover.
It's heartbreaking. I think we've had such a brilliant clay court season, and to kind of get a little bit unlucky with timing, more than anything, to have something kind of acute happen over the weekend and just kind of run out of time against the clocks is disappointing, but it won't take away the brilliant 3 months that we've had, as much as it hurts right now.
Barty says she hopes to be fit in time for Wimbledon that is scheduled to begin on June 28th. With Barty's exit, the French Open will continue without the sport's top three women. Second seed Naomi Osaka withdrew from the tournament following a standoff with organizers for her decision to boycott post-match interview requirements, citing mental health concerns. And third seed 2018 French Open champion Simona Halep of Romania pulled out of the tournament due to a leg injury. We'll bring you more tennis results following an exciting weekend at the French Open tournament. For now, I'll hand it back over to you, Sunny. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. And that wraps up the June 4th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. Have a nice weekend. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.